Thank you all for being here. I realize this morning we're missing quite a few of our people, our loved ones, and some are traveling, some are at a baptism, some are other places this morning. It's a blessing to have all of you that are here this morning, and let's keep those that are not here in our prayers as well. Okay, well, I'm just going to jump into this. This is supposed to be a teaching, and a teacher ought to have his ducks in a row. But like I said, I'm not sure they got them in a row this morning. But we'll share what we have, and you can help me fill in the cracks, and Dale can make up for it this evening when he shares. But we're going to talk about the work of an elder. So our Lord Jesus appointed 12 men to carry on his work. Judas fell away. Matthias was chosen to take Judas's place. And these men, along with Barnabas and Paul, were called apostles. After the ascension of Jesus and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, these men gave oversight to this rapidly growing group of believers. And they labored to promote the gospel and to establish churches throughout the world. We don't have it in Scripture, but tradition says that these apostles then scattered throughout the world and brought the gospel to many different lands. That's according to history, but it's not. We don't have that in Scripture. But these men, these apostles, were giving oversight to the new church. They were giving teaching to the new church. They were establishing churches, and when they appointed faithful men, the faithful elders, to carry on that work that they had begun. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. We'll start with this verse and hopefully end with this verse as well. So I am supposed to be delivering this message this morning, but if plagiarizing would be wrong, and I would be doing some terrible job this morning. Brother Dale gave me a paper about midweek with some of the things written on there, and it was a lot the same thing I was going to teach, but he had it worded so much better, so I'm going to be referring to that paper, and it's also... I made copies of it and put it on the back table back there. I think that will help us all if you want to dig in a little deeper into that. So, but we'll be pulling from some of that here this morning. So these men appointed faithful elders to carry on the work that they began. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop," or desireth to bishop would maybe be a better word to put it, but a way to put that, "he desireth a good work." So what is this good work? What is he supposed to be doing? What is this good work that is said is good to desire to do that work? And that's what we want to look at. So just some practical teaching here on what is the work of an elder. He's called to bishop. He is supposed to be, there's a work he's called to. Now, we as a congregation here are seeking God about ordaining another elder to serve this congregation. And we believe that the pattern, the New Testament pattern, for the church is a plurality of elders. And so whatever is taught here this morning, whatever is laid out as the work of the elders, ought to be done in conjunction with the rest on the team. It's not one man doing it all himself. It's a... there's a plurality. The New Testament pattern gives a plurality of elders serving a local congregation. And so, like Brother Dale said, well, I'll share this morning, this evening, he'll look more at the character, at the man himself, the character of the man or the man himself. This morning, we just want to look at his work. What is the job that needs to be done? When the work of ministering to the Grecian widows was being neglected by the apostles. It was a work that they were involved in, but when it was being neglected, they appointed other men to do that work so that they could give themselves to, somebody finish it. The word of God in prayer, or to prayer and the ministry of the word, King James said. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5 there, he said, feed the flock of God, talking to elders. He said, I'm an elder, I'm among you, to you elders, I'm also an elder. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly. So I think the work of an elder could largely be summed up under these three categories. The first one there, so they could give themselves continually to prayer. Prayer. And the second one would be the ministry of the word. And the third one, oversight, or taking the oversight or administration. Those are the three, if I could maybe sum up the work, the job that's supposed to be done by elders under those three categories. So let's just take a look at those three this morning. And I do wish I had this better in more order, but we will share it as it is and see how this goes. And we will give ourselves continually to prayer, the apostle said. You men take care of this over here. It's not meet that we should leave the word of God and serve tables, they said. We've got to take care of this responsibility. The word of God in prayer, that we may give ourselves to prayer. Well, prayer is the first and most important work of the elder, of bishoping a church, is prayer. He must be a worshiper of the Most High God before he can effectively preach the word or administer a congregation. He must be a man of prayer. See, the elder's job, maybe this should have been another thing, but the title of a description, but the job of an elder is not to control or to manipulate a church. His job is to take people and connect them with the true shepherd, the great shepherd. And that's what his job is to be, is to take the people and keep them connected to this shepherd. And if he himself is not connected, it will never happen. So his first and foremost job is to pray. And this is a work. This man must have communion with the eternal God. This work is not seen or heard of much, but the effect of it is seen and felt in a congregation. That we may give ourselves to prayer. The success of this ministry is not measured in time spent in prayer, nor in the intensity of the prayer, but by the effect that the character of God has on the one praying, that we may give ourselves to prayer, the apostle said. Let me say that again. The success of this ministry is not measured in the time spent in prayer, nor the intensity of the prayer, but by the effect of the character of God on the one praying. Are you following with me there? This man must be a worshiper of the Most High God, the eternal God. And this ministry of prayer will affect this man more than anybody else, the elder, the one that's responsible and that's praying. This ministry of prayer that the apostles were called to and that the elder is called to is not a ritual full of a bunch of cliches that he just spends 2 hours every morning praying, and he says the same thing over and over again, and for the missionaries and for my great aunt's niece who's sick with cancer, and he does all these things that he just goes through, and it's not a ritual with a bunch of cliches, nor is it the spiritual warfare kind of prayers where every strong man is bound and every demon is awake and then told to be quiet. It's neither one of those. It's a real and vital connection with the Savior of the world, this ministry of prayer. It's the Son in communion with His Father. It's the servant in touch with his Master saying, what do you want me to do today? It's the priest in the holies of holies interceding for the people. It's that kind of prayer ministry. This kind of prayer deeply moves the one who is praying. It deeply touches the one who is praying and moves him to action with care, with love. The Apostle Paul carried this minister prayer, and listen to what he said. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Listen to how he prayed. In verse 15, he says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And this is the type of prayers, the heart that an elder needs to have as he comes to communion with God for and prays for the congregation. "I make mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come." Paul's prayer was, he was in communion with the eternal God, and he wanted those in his care, those he was responsible for, to also taste that communion and to know that God and to be living in prosperity and spiritual prosperity and to know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That was what he prayed for, what he yearned for. It's that ministry of prayer that is the work of an elder, that is part of bishoping. Go to Colossians chapter 1, again one of Paul's prayers. And I don't know even how directly responsible Paul was for the Colossian church, but he carried these people on his heart. In verse 9 he says, "And for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints." And he goes on down through there. But this is the ministry, this is the work of the bishop, is to pray this kind of thing for himself and for his people, that we might know this God, that we can walk worthy of God, that we would be fruitful. This work of prayer, you can tell, how can I say this? If someone has been your pastor for 4 or 5 years and he can't remember your name, you have reason to doubt whether he's involved in this ministry of prayer. An elder who is bishoping will care for those in under his care, and he will take them by name to the Lord and care for them. Say, "God, how is Marcus doing today, God? Is anything he needs? What about Samantha?" You know, and there's a care there. There's not a "set that Marcus straight, God. You see what he did at church last Sunday." And, you know, there's a ministry of prayer, that we may give ourselves to prayer, is the work of the elder. Paul did that. He cared deeply for the churches, even when they were messed up like the Corinthians. But he prayed for them. He carried them in his heart before the Lord. How many of you ever listened to that message called Ring the Bell? It's been passed around over the years. How many of you ever heard that message? Ring the Bell, the story of Samuel there in, where was it now? Help me, dear. Not Zanzibar, Swaziland there in South Africa with it. Nobody else has heard that? Just a couple of people? Well, maybe we ought to pass that around again. Okay. I thought probably everybody here listened to that message. It's been passed around over the years. But it's a story. It's an African, it's set in Africa, but I was going to reference something in that story. But the missionary there, anyhow, one the story was in that story. He was praying for those that he had been training under his care. He had been going around traveling. He was sick with malaria. He came back home. And before he went to bed, he went on his knees. And like he was always accustomed to, he started to pray for each of his men that he had discipled that was in his care. And when he came to one man's name, this was before there was internet, this was before there was WhatsApp, when he came to one man's name, he just could not get the man's name out of his mind. He said, something is not right with this man. And he took it to the Lord in prayer again and said, God, what about this man? Something was not right. And so he got on his horse and he traveled for, I don't know, was it 40 miles that night? And got to the man's place. It's a beautiful story of God's intervention there. But my point with that is the prayer ministry that an elder is called to carry the people that he's responsible to the Almighty God, and to care deeply. And when something is not right there, when God says, you know what, you need to touch base with this person, the elder is in tune with the heart of God. And he's able to do something about it. This prayer moves him to action. But because he's in connection with the eternal God, there's something that happens in his heart. Amen. Something changes in the heart of the elder. And he's not just an administrator, setting the church straight and making sure this thing stays on track. But he's in tune with the heart of God, and he knows what God wants done. And that's what he prays for, and that's how he acts upon. Paul told Timothy, he said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. The elder must have this communion with God if he's going to be effective. He must take heed to himself that this is there. That's his first work that he's called to. And that ministry of prayer is often traded for serving tables or administration. But the life of the church will not be effective if the elder does not engage in that ministry. That we may give ourselves to prayer, the apostle says. That's one of the works that the elder is called to do. That's one of his jobs. And not just the elders. Please, everybody can be engaged in that. The second work the apostles mentioned is the ministry of the word. And this ministry of the word involves teaching, preaching, pastoring. It's ministering the word. Communicating the word of God to the people. Teaching the word of God to the people. Helping them understand it. Ministering it. What the word of God has said. Let's do that. Let's minister it. That's the work of the second work they were called to. And there's a lot that could be put under that heading, pastoring. And Brother Dale put that, I have his paper here, there's on the back table. And he put some beautiful things down there. I laid this paper aside until I did some of my own study. And then I pulled this on and said, what did Brother Dale write? Because I wanted to make sure the Word of God is guiding us here. Not that I didn't trust Brother Dale, but I was afraid that I would just, knowing his giftings, I just figured his is going to say it so much better and I'll just follow his, which I'm still tempted to do that. But what I found and what he found is the same thing. It came from the same book. So, the ministering the word. But if you study the scriptures in here, the need to feed the flock comes up over and over and over again in the scripture when referring to the work of an elder. Feed the flock of God, taking the oversight thereof, and feed the flock of God. It's probably mentioned more often than any other. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 34. And brothers, as I study through this and I read through some of what the prophet said about pastoring, about the role, the responsibility of an elder, the strong words that they've said, there's some serious warnings for us. And I don't know that I could, that we're living up to that as elders, but we need the grace of God. But listen to this. They're called to the ministry of the word, or to feed the flock of God. I'm just going to read down through this. There's a tremendous amount in Ezekiel 34 of what the works that an elder is supposed to be involved in, the things he's supposed to do. But just notice as we read through here how often he mentions feed the flock. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. So he's giving a warning here, but in this warning we get a glimpse of what is the responsibility of an elder. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat unto all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains upon every high hill, yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock. But the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God. And here it changes to the Lord becoming the shepherd. And listen what he will do. And this is the work that we're called to, is to be like our shepherd, our great shepherd. This is the work that an elder is called to. Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the dark, the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out of the people, from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. As for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between ram and the he-goat. Seemeth it a small thing unto you that ye have eaten up the good pasture? But must ye tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures? And to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet? And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. This is a pastor, this is an elder who his own self is incredibly involved in his ministry, feeding himself of the flock, getting gain off of the flock, not caring for their well-being, but making sure he's taken care of first. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall be no more a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Amen. Even my servant David, he shall feed them. And he shall be their shepherd. Feed the flock of God. Did y'all see how often he mentions that? That is the work of the shepherd. The work of the elder is to feed the flock of God. This is teaching. This is preaching. This is writing. This is nourishing. This is... It doesn't matter what the need is that the sheep have, that the flock have. It might be a little lamb that just needs a couple of drops of milk, you know, to keep it alive for the moment. It might be a full-grown ram that needs some healthy diet of vitamins and minerals. And, you know, a full-grown, mature, all of them need to be fed to keep them alive and healthy. A well-fed flock is content and at rest. A hungry flock is baying and unsettled and wandering around and looking for this and trying to bite of this and trying to bite of that and not finding nourishment. But a well-fed flock is content and at rest. And it's the job of the elder to feed the flock, to make sure they've got the food necessary. That doesn't mean that the elder does all the teaching or all the preaching, but he is responsible that the teaching happens, that the feeding happens, and he is responsible for what is fed. That is the responsibility of the elder. He's responsible for what is taught and that the flock is being nourished. So feed the flock of God. And again, it is impossible. It is impossible for an elder to feed the flock of God without himself being in communion in this prayer life with the eternal God. And brothers, you believe me, it's a burden on my heart. I did it again this morning. I said, how, God, can I do a teaching like this and the congregation go away and be fed? How? Because it's a prayer in our hearts. The congregation must be fed. And when you stand behind the pulpit to teach, brothers, it ought to be a prayer in your heart. God, help me to feed the congregation. This ought to be something that nourishes and gives health and vitality to the congregation. Feed the flock of God. This is a primary response, a major responsibility of the elder. The elder also cares for the flock. Did you catch that in this Ezekiel 34? Notice some of the things he shares there. In verse 4, he's saying it in a negative, that you haven't done this, but this is the work of the elder. He is to care for the flock. He strengthens the diseased. He heals the sick. You see that in verse 4? He binds up the broken. There are times that we have the lame, the weak and the deformed in our congregations. And sometimes we ourselves face sickness. It's the elder's responsibility to heal that up, to minister to that, to bind up that which is broken. Now, any farmer wants the top quality flock. Amen. I mean, you want the stuff that is the best. But a good shepherd, a good farmer, doesn't kick out the diseased, and the a good shepherd won't. The work of the elder is to care deeply for those needs, not to kick them out and keep them out of the flock to keep the flock pure. No, none of that, but to care for them and to minister them, the ones that are hurting, broken, diseased. They're not right. They've got a sickness. They've got a bug. They got something wrong with them. The elder is responsible to care for them, to bring healing to that. My children are, I tell them that they're good examples of what a shepherd ought to be. They're not the most efficient farmers in that sense, but, and probably children in general, but my children do love animals, and I think we still got it at home, that rabbit with a crooked head, right? He's still alive. When they were little, they had a chicken that had I don't know what happened. It needed a chiropractic adjustment, but its head went, you know. And they couldn't stand it. I mean, it was walking around upside down with its head. I said, well, maybe just put it out of its misery. No, Daddy, no. Let's take care of it, you know. They've got a rabbit that's the same way at home now, you know, a little bit. We've had lambs that I said, this is not going to make it. I mean, it's going to die. And they'll bring it in. Let's try, Daddy. Let's try. And they'll feed it up during the night, trying to keep this thing alive. That's a shepherd's heart. That's an elder's job. Never giving up. Never kicking it out of the flock. Never saying, get out of here. You're too sick. You're too deformed. Help yourself. But he does what he can to bring healing, to bring life, to bring hope, some help to that which is diseased and broken. And that can be spiritually, that can be physically as well. There's a... We got a little runt puppy at home right now, and they're trying desperately to keep that thing alive. What's that thing going to be worth, you know? A shepherd does that. That's an elder's job with the flock. He brings back that which was driven away. And brothers and sisters, we have this happening all around us in churches. How many people do we meet daily that are so offended by the church? They're fed up with it because of the hurts and the offenses, and they've been driven away or told to leave or hurt so badly they want nothing to do with church. Well, an elder brings back that which was driven away. He brings that back together again. He goes and finds that, and he looks for that which is lost in verse 4. It says, neither have you brought that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost. An elder looks for that. And brothers, we have some people that have been among us, are among us, who are lost. And we ought to be trying what we can to bring them back, to bring them in touch with the Savior till they find that saving grace. And to just not have them show up again on a Sunday morning doesn't help us out. That we haven't fixed it now because they're not among us anymore. They're still lost. And an elder, it's one of the works of an elder, of a bishop, part of his bishoping is to seek that which was lost. It needs to be found. And God have mercy on us with that. We have a lot of work to do with that. He does not rule with force or with cruelty. Or in other words, he's not an authoritarian in his administration. And brothers, that's a need that I have. My family knows this. People say I'm soft-spoken, but I tend to be authoritarian in my home. It's a thing that I've taken to the Lord in prayer over and over again. I say, if it's in the home, it's going to be in the church. And I need the grace of God with that. So I just put that out there as a need that this minister has. But that's the work. Those are some of the works to care for the flock. The elder needs to care for the flock. Go to John chapter 10. And Brother Dale, I hope I'm not... Some of this overlaps with the character of this man, but you'll touch on that more this evening. In chapter 10, Jesus gives this beautiful picture of what the good shepherd is. And he's talking about himself, obviously. But this also are the things... He mentions several things in here that are the works, the things that an elder is supposed to be doing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. We sang that this morning. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth them. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring. And they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, all that I've just said is repeated here in this passage, if you were catching that. And this is our Lord's example. And he is the chief shepherd to whom we as elders need to guide everyone to. The church should not revolve around us as the elder, but around him as the great shepherd. But this is the work of an elder as well. Notice in verse 3, his work is to have a personal, filial connection with each of his sheep. He knows them personally by name, and his sheep know him. Isaiah 40:11 says, He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. To do this involves visiting, hospitality, and having genuine care over the flock. He leads by example. It is the job of the elder to lead by example. Notice in verse 4, he takes his sheep and he goes before them. He doesn't demand something of them that he himself is not willing to do or has not done, but he goes before them. He leads by example. Verse 10 and 11 there, he gives his life for the sheep. He lays down his desires, risks his own life for the well-being of the flock. That is a work of an elder. He comes to bring life, not death and destruction and cutting and pain, but life. When the elder shows up, it ought to bring life. And brothers, God help us with this. You know, my wife and I, we've had some conversation the last couple of months. And there's times that she said to me, when you walk in the room, it brings tension. Ouch! That should never be in a home or in the church. And we need the grace of God. It ought to be life when we walk into the room as an elder. It's the work of an elder is to bring life, abundant life to the flock. He lays down his own desires for the well-being of the flock, risks his life to make it happen. Verse 12 and 13, we find this work of an elder is not something he is doing for pay, doing for what he gets out of it. He is doing it because he cares for the flock. And when there is trouble coming, you won't find an elder running. An elder called of God will not run when he sees the trouble coming. He cannot run. This flock is his responsibility. And he cannot bear to see them scattered. And so he will stay there and do all he can to take care of that trouble. That is the job of an elder. And don't think for a moment, brothers, that is a... how can I say... that us as elders don't tremble sometimes when we see a wolf coming. We're also sheep. We're also sheep. And there's times we see trouble coming and we have to get on our knees before God and say, look, we need your help. We need your grace. But he won't run. He'll take care of the flock. That is the work of a shepherd. An elder cares. When a church member is facing a problem, this care is all involving. The elder cares when someone is not getting it right. The elder cares when someone falls into sin. His presence brings hope and comfort because he cares. And in verse 16, we find another work of the shepherd. It says, Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The the work of an elder is also to recognize that there are other people outside the fold of God who must be brought in. A good shepherd cares for the other sheep that are not yet a part of the fold of God. And he will do the work of an evangelist. And he will help get churches started other places because he cares about this. This is on his heart. There are other sheep. He does that work of an evangelist. Prayer, ministry of the word. Those are the primary, some of the major works of an elder. The third one there is to oversee or administrate, or the that's another work that he's supposed to be involved in, an elder, and it's another major part of his work. The elder's called to be an overseer. If you understand that English word, says it well. He sees over. He's an overseer. He sees what's happening, and he's responsible for what goes on. He's aware of it, and he's an overseer. In Acts 20, Paul exhorted the elders there. He said, "Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God." There we have that again. "Which he hath purchased with his own blood. The elders which are among you I exhort," Peter said, "which also am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory which shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly." An overseer is simply one who looks over everything and makes sure that everything gets done that needs to get done. In 1 Corinthians 12:5, it says there are differences of administrations. In other words, there are different ways to get things done in a body, in a church. But the overseer is supposed to make sure it gets done. He's an administrator, might be another word for it. That's another work of the elder. That doesn't mean that the elder does everything, but he's responsible to make sure it gets done. We already saw earlier how the apostles were not getting the ministration done to the widows, and so they were overseers. They said, "You know what, we're not getting this done. Let's get somebody else." But they were oversaw to make sure that it was still getting done. That's an overseer. Now, what is an overseer supposed to do? And I guess technically I was an overseer down here at this barn shop, you know, managing that. And people would ask me, "So what are you doing down there?" And I said, "Well, I guess I don't know. What did I do today?" "Well, pipe broke in the bathroom. I fixed that. You know, I wrote out a bunch of lists of things that need to get done and repaired and talked to some customers. And I made sure this person had the materials he needed. What did I do? I was just overseeing." I guess sometimes the job is hard to describe, but you make sure that what needs to be done gets done and that job is accomplished. Here are some, but I'm going to refer to Dale's paper here. There's some administrative things that Dale wrote on here that I think are commonly expected of an elder here at Grace to help with. And administrative gifts are a tremendous blessing to a congregation. But here's some things that would be included here for our congregation. An elder is responsible to plan and prepare church calendar of events, preaching schedules, you know, the events for the congregation, an order of services, to make sure that part's in order. That's a very practical thing. He's responsible to make sure he plans regular ministers' meetings and conduct them. Be on top of what's happening, what needs to be talked about. Are we accomplishing what was discussed? Where's this at? And who's responsible for this? Those are administrative things that an elder is responsible for. And an elder needs to, just like with any type of administration, you have to stay on top of it. If you let it go, you know, you forget it, it falls through the cracks. But it's the responsibility of an elder to oversee, to make sure things are getting done. An elder's at Grace here, we plan and moderate members' meetings, brothers' meetings. You know, we chair those meetings, making sure the voice of the brotherhood is heard. Everybody has a chance to hear, to share their opinion. And it's the It's the responsibility, and this is probably one of the most important things, Dale has that on here, of the is to take all those viewpoints, those perspectives, those ideals that we hear from the congregation, and try to find something that is common through it all, and bring some kind of common agreement forward, a step that we can take forward together as a congregation that will draw our hearts together. And again, not push and shove with our horns and drive anybody out, but be a drawing force and bring us together with something that we can agree on, something that we can move forward on. That's the responsibility. It's an administrative responsibility of an elder. They're responsible to officiate communion services, baptisms, ordinations, anointing services, weddings, funerals, and that list could go on to some other things as well. And those things would include things like, you know, pre-baptismal classes or premarital courses. And again, the elder doesn't do it all. It's not necessarily his responsibility to do all of that. But he is responsible to make sure it's taken care of and it's officiated and it's handled in a wise, gracious manner. In a God-honoring way, he's responsible to make sure the job gets done. There are some other things Dale has on the list, but those are a few things that are administratively that are a job. And it takes time and it takes giftings to make sure those things get done. It takes communication, and it's the responsibility of the elder to make sure that's all happening. And you saw this morning that that didn't happen. I assume we didn't communicate about who's preaching. But those types of things. And it means an elder needs to stay engaged. You know, you can't just, an elder's job is not one like some preachers like to have. Let me just get behind the pulpit and I'm going to preach it, say it how it is, and go down to the next place and preach it and say it how it is. And, well, brother, that's a fine job you can have, but it's part of it. But it doesn't take care of the flock, and it doesn't get real practical and get down to administration, which is part of the bishop elders. Part of bishoping would be administration. You know, I'll just get real practical. There's just a tremendous amount of things. And as a brotherhood here, everyone has been very, very helpful. I appreciate how everybody here jumps in and we all help each other out with some of these things. But the elder is responsible to make sure things get done, that there's no offenses and there's no, you know, whether it's what's on the bulletin board back there, what's on the back table, or whose names are on the mailboxes, or you know, and so there's little things like that that can, if they're not administered correctly, can cause offenses and hurts. And he's responsible to make sure those things are effectively taken care of, to administer, the church is administered wisely. The work of an elder also includes equipping others to take his place. First, Paul told Timothy, he said, "The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And that's the responsibility of an elder, a bishop. He cannot freely just move on to something else until he's confident that this thing is passed on to someone else and the care for the church is continuing. It's his responsibility to make sure that will happen after he moves on or passes on. That's one of our responsibilities. And again, we know God's grace is there. We have it all throughout history where men of God were put out of commission, were killed, and the church still kept right on. They picked up and carried things on. But that is a responsibility. In conclusion here, this is a true saying. We read it. We started off with this verse. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop or desireth to bishop, he desireth a good work. It is a work. It's a place of service. It's a responsibility. James said, "My brethren, be not many masters." Don't try to be a bunch of teachers. "Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, for in many things we offend all." This work will expose your weakness. And it's almost impossible to get everything right. You will do things wrong. And because of that, we're under stricter judgment. We're under greater condemnation. Your mistakes will be seen by all. And yet, Paul told Timothy, it is a good work to be desired. It's a good work to be desired. But can I say this? I find very few young men preparing for it and desiring it. There are men who are asked to be ordained, called to be ordained by the church, who refuse in many, many churches because it just looks too hard. They don't want to take the shots. They don't want to have this stricter condemnation. It's a lot easier to spend your life in business and do what you want to do. But if I could just put that out there, brother, it says it's a good work to be desired. And I'm supposed to be a salesman up here, I guess. I'm supposed to be. We're trying to go to this ordination. And somebody needs to be appointed to help us with some of these things. And it's a good work. So it's something to be desired. It's right to desire to pick up this responsibility. It takes some preparation. It takes some giftings. It takes a calling of God on one's life. There's a tremendous need for faithful elders who are in communion with God, who have administrative gifts and a pastoral heart for our churches today. There's a tremendous need for that. And God grant us that here at Grace. And not just here, but as He leads us into other places, that would also continue on in those places. Is God calling you to that work? Are you willing to forego your dreams, your visions, for the care of the church? The one who is truly called by God to this work will say with the Apostle Paul, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Yea, necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel." He's got to do it. He sees the sheep scattering and he can't handle it. He will do something about it. That is the man who God has called to this ministry. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear," Peter said, "ye shall receive a crown of glory which fadeth not away." So there you've got it. That's why it's worthy to be desired. There's a crown of glory coming in eternity that fadeth not away for the man who is faithful in this calling. So this is the work of an elder. I hope that makes sense and flows together enough there. Those are some of the things he's responsible for. And Lord willing, for the day, we'll look more at the man himself this evening. Let's pray for this, brothers. There is none of us here that are perfect. And probably no one man can fill this work by himself. He has all these giftings in himself. As a congregation, we can't expect perfection in all of these areas and accomplishment in all these works. But this is the job that is given. And let's pray that the job could get done and God would raise up men to accomplish the job that needs to be done. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word, this teaching. Oh God, would you help us? Help us as a congregation to shepherd each other, to bishop each other, to care for each other. And Father, would you raise up men among us who you can use in this place, in this congregation, in other places, in other congregations that you raise up, that you could use men who are equipped, gifted, called of you to accomplish your work. Father, that your body would be cared for, that the church would be pure and holy and full of life and vibrancy, Father. Would you do that, Lord? We know that gifting, those giftings come from you. And so would you guide us in these things? And Lord, as we pursue your will concerning ordination, would you lay on our hearts clearly the one you have called for this work here in this congregation, and lead us step by step in a way that's peaceful, brings rest, brings harmony, and that your word would move forward and souls would be saved, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen.